Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. A special welcome to all of you joining us from home. We are certainly glad to be able to be one body together, even indeed on a holiday weekend. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace and mercy and forgiveness, invite us to take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our first hymn.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Direct us, O Lord God, in all our doings with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy 30. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give you to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that you may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. If you want to follow Jesus, you better look good on wood. Let that one sink in. Instead of Central's vision statement that reads, "Everyone we encounter will experience God's transforming love, grace, and forgiveness," what do you say we adopt a new one? If you want to follow Jesus, you better look good on wood. That's precisely what Jesuit priest, poet, and activist Father Daniel Berrigan once said. And reflecting on what he said, Father James Martin, a fellow Jesuit priest, wrote these words. He said, "Those are words of wisdom from a Jesuit who spent decades speaking truth to power, standing with the marginalized, and, as he said about Dorothy Day, living as if the gospel were true. If you want to follow Jesus, you better look good on wood." Discipleship. Following Jesus is not an easy road for anyone to go down. Like the crowds who are traveling with Jesus, we too would do well to heed his words of wisdom and consider the cost of discipleship. After all, none of us wants to look like a fool, or worse, to be outnumbered 2-1 on the battlefield. Most of us, I think, are probably risk adverse. That is, we go out of our way to avoid taking risks. We teach our children not to engage in risky behaviors, and we worry when they do. Yet Jesus makes it perfectly clear there is a risk to following him, and that risk comes with great cost. Discipleship is costly. Jesus demands undivided loyalty, our full allegiance. Jesus doesn't mince any words here. He doesn't try to sugarcoat it. There's no softening his message to make it more palatable. Father Berrigan is right. If you want to follow Jesus, you better look good on wood. So I wonder, how does that sound as a marketing strategy for Central Lutheran Church? Here we are back about to kick off our full fall programming year since the first time since 2019. And today's gospel message comes with far greater risk than that of even a global pandemic. Let's tear down all of the all-are-welcome signs, and let's instead hang up a banner emblazoned with the bold words of Jesus. Want to become my disciple? Hate your family and life itself. Carry the cross. Give up all your possessions. Or to put it more succinctly, how about we hang a banner on the corner of 18th and Potter Street for the whole world to see as they drive by or as they walk by. And that banner could say, follow Jesus, come die with him. Now, most people passing by, if they even stop to look at it closely, might think that we just left the N off, that we meant to say, follow Jesus, come dine with him. But no, our banner would say, follow Jesus, come die with him. If you want to follow Jesus, you better look good on wood. It's ludicrous to invite people into a life of discipleship. And I can tell you, I've looked through my fair share of church supply catalogs, and I've never once run across anything close to what's at the heart of today's gospel message. And this truly is a matter of the heart. Jesus calls us to give up all of our possessions, all of our relationships, everything. He wants our whole heart. all of our mind-body strength. Jesus wants it all. To suggest that following Jesus is not an easy road to go down is not only an understatement, it's false advertising. And to be perfectly candid, I'd much rather stand before you today and deliver the message Moses proclaimed when speaking for God in our passage that Lorraine read from Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. That's a message I can preach. Love God. Walk in God's ways. Observe God's commandments. In other words, choose life. Choose life. It's not all that jarring to hear or to speak those words. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. After all, who in their right mind would choose death and adversity over life and prosperity? Who would choose curses over blessings? Who would take offense at hearing one of God's deepest desires is for us to love God above all else and our neighbor as ourselves? But hate one's family and even life itself? To hear that in order to follow Jesus, we must carry the cross? That by following him, we are asked to give up all of our possessions? That to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, then or now, requires our full allegiance, our undivided loyalty? To willingly give up all that we have and all that we are. To give up our life in order to gain it. There is a cost to discipleship, all right. And it's true, we better look good on wood. It wouldn't surprise me at all if those crowds that were following Jesus thinned a bit. And it's certainly no surprise that even Jesus' closest followers abandoned him as he hung dying on the cross. It wasn't until after the promised gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, when the Spirit descended on the disciples and their tongues were set loose and they began to proclaim the good news and to live as if the gospel were true. It wasn't until after that promised gift of the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples and upon us that we are able to live fully into this gospel. So today, empowered by that same Spirit, I have to wonder what would happen if we were to speak truth to power, if we were to stand with the marginalized, and if we were to live our lives as if the gospel were true. Maybe, just maybe, we'd discover that the risks far outweigh the costs, or not. But of this you can be sure. Answering the call to follow Jesus, to be his disciples, means we will be transformed by the Spirit. And together we will be molded into a community bold to proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Today Jesus is calling us to risk everything. So let me close by asking, will you come and follow him if he but calls your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let Christ's love be shown? Will you let his name be known? Will you let his life be grown in you and yours in him? Are you willing to risk everything? I certainly hope so. I really do. Because I happen to believe God has big plans in store for us. And I'm dying to see those plans unfold. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, So let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. We pray for the church around the world and for the mission of the gospel. Refresh the hearts of your people. Deepen our understanding of every good thing we share, and strengthen our partnerships in the faith. God of grace, hear our prayer. For the well-being of the earth and all its creatures, for trees and forests, for all that will yield fruit this season, and for streams and other bodies of water, God of grace, hear our prayer. For the nations and those in authority, for the elected leaders of our towns, states, and country, and for international organizations, grant wisdom to those who govern and raise up citizens who make decisions in the best interest of their neighbors. God of grace, hear our prayer. For this community of faith, for all our labors, begun, continued, and ended in you, that they glorify your holy name. Bless your people with the strength to live into their many vocations for the sake of the world. We pray in thanksgiving for the marriage of Jesse Jarosiewicz and Kelly Lake yesterday. God of grace, hear our prayer. For all in need, for those who suffer from disease, illness, isolation, and abandonment, for those who struggle with homelessness or food insecurity, for those whose family life is difficult, for all in grief, and for all in this community who need your care. We pray especially this week for Christopher Beller, Lou and Lisa Berg, Joy Lathrop, Lori Lund, Doug and Jody Martin, and Kristen Ware. God of grace, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the saints who now rest from their labors. Give us faith like them to love you with all our hearts, and by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life and comfort us as we grieve. We pray for those who loved Tara Pratt as we entrust her to eternal glory. God of grace, hear our prayer. Gather together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pray. Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing, and make us ready to share with all in need through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and also upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy, and so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll come up through the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then take one step in either direction, whichever side of the nave you're on, and dip it into the cup. It's a divided cup that has red wine or white grape juice. Come, for all has been made ready. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of the abundant table, you have refreshed our hearts in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us your grace on the road, that we might serve our neighbors with joy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Before receiving the benediction, we have several notes about our life together. As Pastor Lori alluded to in the sermon, we're so excited for our program year to be starting, and we have a number of things happening. If you look at the back of your bulletin, next Sunday, we'll have our back-to-school blessing in both services, as well as a blessing of the solar panel project, which has been completed, and they are working at Krista's house, and those are given in memory of Joyce Ford Anderson by her extended family. So at the service next week, we'll have a blessing back to school and a blessing of the solar panels on our campus ministry house. Also, next Saturday, the 10th, we're going to have a back-to-school party in the parish hall. It's actually from 10 to 1. It says 9:30 to 1:30, which you're welcome to come that time, but you might get recruited to help put up tables at the beginning. And a couple other notes. You see Together Tuesdays is coming back September 13th. Also, today, a few things directly after the service. As this is the first Sunday in the month, we will have our individual prayer will be available for anyone who'd like individual prayer. Just head over to the chapel directly after service, and our prayer ministry will meet you there. Second is this afternoon at 1 p.m., there is a Krista's house cleanup, getting ready for new students arriving. And very welcome to volunteers who'd like to join. For any questions, contact Kim Myers. And with that, I invite everyone who's able to stand to receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.